Papa Olaf, first ruling. Mitzvos asei, lishpoit ha-shoifet b'tzedek. It is a positive precept of the Torah that the judge must judge with righteousness. Sheneimar, as it is said, b'tzedek tishpoit ha-misecho. You shall judge your fellow man with righteousness. Ezu tzedek ha-mishpot. What is meant by the righteousness of the judgment? Zu hashvoyas shnei baledinin b'chol davar. It means that both litigants must be treated equally in every respect. There must be total impartiality on the part of the judge or the court. Lo yehei echot medaber kol tzorkoi. For example, one should not allow one to speak as much as he wants, as much as he feels it's necessary for his case. And to his opponent, the judge would say, "Katzer dvorecho, be brief, shorten your words." Or he should not show friendliness to one of them and speak to him softly, and frown upon the other, and speak to him harshly. So, Tzedek tishpoit amisecho, to judge your fellow man with righteousness, means basically to treat them both totally equal, with total impartiality. Halacha beis. Shnei baledinim, two litigants. Shoya echot mehem melubosh begodim yekorim, one of which was dressed in very fine garments. Vasheni, and the second one, melubosh begodim bezuin, was dressed in rags, in shameful garments. Oimer lamechubos, then the judge should say to the one that appears more distinguished, the one in the fine garments, Oi halbisheyu kamoischo, either you dress him just like yourself, achetodun imoi, before you hold trial against him, Oi levoish kamoischoi, or you dress just like he is dressed, achetiyu shovin, until you're dressed exactly like himself, and achakach tam tu badin. And then you can come and have the trial. Halacha Gimel. Lo yiyeh echot yoshev. It is not permitted that one of the litigants should be seated, ve'echot oimet, and the other one standing. In other words, that one is allowed to sit and the other one is kept standing. Elo shneim oimdim, but both should be standing. Vimrotzu beistin lohoshiv es shneim. If for whatever reason the court decides to allow them both to sit down, mashivim, they can permit them to be seated. In other words, they need not necessarily stand, but whatever they permit for the one, they must also permit for the other. V'leyeshev echot lemalo v'echot lemato, and if they are both allowed to sit, they should not seat the one higher and the other one lower, in other words, one in a more prominent place and the other one in a less prominent place. Elo ze betzad ze, but the one sitting next to the other in equal position. When is this the case? In other words, when will the court allow the litigants to be seated? The shas maso maton, during the discussion of the case, when the claims are heard and the court deliberates. Al bishas gmardin, but when it comes to the conclusion of the case, in other words, the rendering of the sentence, as Rambam will soon define, then shneim b'amido, then both must be standing. Shneimar, as it is said, v'yamot ho'om al Moshe, and this people stood about Moses. Ve'zu gmardin, what is called the completion of the trial of the case, when they must both be standing, when the judges are ready and prepared to say that ish pliny, you so-and-so, ato zaka, you are innocent, ish pliny, you so-and-so, ato chayef, you are guilty. In other words, when they render sentence, when judgment is rendered. And also, by meidvo memurim, when is this the case that the court will allow the people before it to be seated? Be baledinim. This refers to the litigants. Aval ha'edim, but the witnesses, lo'olam b'amido, they must always stand. Shneima, as it is said, v'omdu shnei ha'anoshim, and the two men, they shall stand. Halacha dalet. Talmid chacham, a Torah scholar, v'ahmoretz, and an ignorant person. Shebo'o Ledin, which come for trial. They are the two litigants. Mashivin es hachochom, they seat the Torah scholar. Ve'oimrim la'am ha'oretz, and they say to the ignorant person, Shave, sit. In other words, he's also offered to sit. So that again, both are treated equally. But in La Yoshav, but if he, the ignorant person, the Amoretz, does not want to sit, he wants to remain standing, Ein makbidin al kach, it does not matter. They do not mind this. Here he had the option, it is up to him, and the reason that the scholar was asked to sit was obviously to respect the Torah scholarship that he represents. The litigant, the ignoramus, was offered the same opportunity, and then it is really up to him. Further, if one of the litigants happens to be a disciple of one of the judges, he should not come early to court and sit before his master, before his teacher, because this will give the appearance as if he wants to state his case before him. Because when his opponent will then come, it will appear to his opponent that this first one, the first litigant, has come earlier, is already standing there before that judge, and who knows, he may have already stated his case, or is about to state his case in his absence, and that is not permitted, as we shall soon learn in another halacha. But v'imhoyo kaveya lo izman likois, if, however, there was an appointed time for this disciple to study with his master, who happens to be a judge of this court, uboz manoi, and this time has come, and this student, this disciple, has come earlier for this particular time of his study period, mutoi is permitted, because there obviously we do not fear that he tried to state his case beforehand in the absence of his opponent, but since this is a regular time that he has to come there and to study, this is what he has done now as well. Halochohei. Kva noagu kol bote dine Yisrael. It is already an established custom in all the courts of Israel. Me'acha ha-gemor, since the completion of the Talmud, no, since that time, v'chol ha-yeshivois, in all the academies, shemoshivin ba'le dinin, that they ask the litigants to sit, u'moshivin ho-edim, and they also ask the witnesses to sit. Kedei lesalek hamachlokes, in order to avoid any dispute, to avoid any strife, that the one may be a scholar, the other one an ignorant person, the one more respectable, the other one less respectable, and what have you. So to avoid all and any of such possible strife, misconceptions, misunderstandings, the court will ask all of them to sit. Unless, of course, they would opt to stand, which would be a highly commendable act on their part, but it is then left to both the litigants or the witnesses whether they prefer to sit or to stand. Why is it like this? After we have learned that witnesses should always stand, she'ein bonu koyach, because we no longer have the power, lahamit mishpatei hados, to establish and to maintain all the requirements of the law, al tilom, intact, correctly, perfectly, the way it should be, ideally. Halochavov. Hoyu lifnei hadayonim, bale din habe. If there are before the judges many litigants, in other words, there are a whole number, a great number of cases to be tried, then magdimin es din ha-yosoim ledin ha-almono. We judge first the case of the orphan before the case of a widow. Notice if there is one case which involves an orphan, there is another case which involves a widow, we judge first of all the case of the orphan. Shenema, as it is said, shiftu yosoim, judge the orphan. Rivu almono, plead the case for the widow. So we find scripture taking the yosoim, the orphan, before the almono, before the widow. Bedin almono koidim ledin talmid chochom, if there is a case involving a widow and another case involving a Torah scholar, we judge first the case of the widow. Likewise, bedin talmid chochom koidim ledin hamoretz, if there is a case involving a Torah scholar and there is another case because we are talking always about completely separate cases. Another case involving an ignoramus, an ignorant person, an illiterate person, we judge first the case of the Torah scholar and then only the case of the Amoris. Likewise, if there is a case of Din HaIsho, a case involving a woman, and there is another case involving a man, then Din HaIsho Koidim LeDin HaIsh, we judge first the case which involves a woman, and then only the case of a man. Why? Sheboishes HaIsho Merubo, because the humiliation of having to wait there is greater for a woman than it is for a man. Halacha Zayin. Also, ledayon lishmoya divrei echot mibal ledinim. It is forbidden for a judge to hear the arguments of one of the litigants, koidim shiyova chaveroi, before the other one, his opponent, will appear. Oy shiloi bifnei chaveroi, or in the absence of his opponent. In other words, even if his opponent was there for the beginning of the case, but he had to leave the courtroom for a few minutes, then the other litigant has to remain silent until his opponent returns. Barfilu dovo echot osur. It is forbidden to hear even one single statement when one of the litigants is not present. Shneema, as it is said, shomoya ben achechem. Hear between your brothers. In other words, you are allowed to hear, the judge is allowed to hear only ben achechem when both litigants are there present. V'chola shameya me'echot. Anyone who will hear the argument of just one of them in the absence of the other, over beloisa say he is violating a negative precept of the Torah, shenemar, as it is said, loisiso shema shof, you shall not accept a false report. Ubichlal alaf zeh, and this prohibition includes also, azoro, a warning, limekabel loshen hora, for listening or hearing a slander, umesape loshen hora, and a warning against giving, indulging in slander, umeid eidus sheker, and a warning against giving false testimony. Not only the judge is prohibited from listening to a statement of one of the litigants in the absence of the other litigant, but v'chein baldin, likewise the litigant himself, muzor, is forewarned, shlo yashmiya dvorov ledayin, not to state his case, his arguments to the judge, koidim shiyova baldin chaveroi, before his opponent, the other litigant, will come and be standing there next to him before the judges. The gamal zeh, and also of this, ukayotzeboi, and of similar circumstances, neymar, it is said in scripture, midvar sheker tichok, keep away from falsehood. Halacha ches. Lo yie hadayon shameya mipi haturgamon. The judge shall not hear the arguments through an interpreter. Elohim kein hoyo makir leshoin balid dinim, unless he himself also understands the language spoken by the litigants. The shamea tanaseyem, and he hears and understands the arguments as they come from them themselves, because there are always some nuances which may get lost in translation. If the judge is not fluent enough in the language of the litigants, in order to address them, in order to respond to them, when it comes to passing sentence, then the interpreter, the translator, shall stand to inform them, the litigants, psakadin, the final decision, the ruling of the judge. Not only to inform them of what the actual decision is, but also to set forth to them Tam, the reason why he pronounced the one guilty and pronounced the other one innocent. Halochotes. Tzori chadayon lishmoya tanois baledinim. The judge must hear the arguments of the litigants. And he must repeat their arguments. In other words, after both litigants have spoken out, he has heard both their arguments, he must then review them, he must then repeat them, summarize them before them, so that they have a chance to see and hear whether or not the judge has properly understood their case. How do we know this? Shenemar, as it is said, about a famous case that came before King Solomon, by Yoimah HaMelech, and the king said, Zois Omeres, this one said, Zeh Bni HaChai, the living one, the living child, this is my son, Ubnei Chameis, and the dead one is your son. So we find here that King Solomon repeated the arguments of the litigants. Umetzadek Esadin Beliboy, and then he must check and find satisfaction within his own heart, within his own mind, that the judgment that he has reached is correct. And then he renders it, then he decides. In other words, he must first think about it, become convinced within his own mind, and only then render judgment. Halacha Yud. Minayin ledayon shlo yeose melitz lidvorov shel baldin. How do we know that a judge should not defend or approve the words or arguments of one of the litigants, or of any of the litigants? Shenemar, as it is said, midvar sheker tichok, keep afar from falsehood. Ela yoyma mashin yireloi, but the litigant should say whatever his opinion, his argument is. The yishtoik and the judge should just remain silent and listen to what he said. Velo yelamit echot mi baledinin tano klau. He should not teach either one of the litigants how to reason, how to argue. In other words, he should not even suggest a certain type of possible argument for any of the litigants. Afilo hevi eid echot, even if one of the litigants, the one who is suing the other, brings one witness, la yoimaloi, the judge shall not say to him, ein mekablin eid echot, the testimony of one witness is not acceptable. Elo yoimal la niton, but he should say to the defendant, this man has testified against you. In other words, you should draw attention as to what has been said. Hopefully that if indeed the claim of the plaintiff is a justified claim, then perhaps this will be sufficient to cause the defendant to admit the Yoima, and he will say that Emes Hayit, he testified truthfully. But he himself is not allowed to say or suggest that the testimony of one witness is not really sufficient to convict, even though that is the law. Atche yitern hu, until and unless the defendant himself will argue with Yoima, and he will say, what do you want from me? Eid echot hu, he is only one witness speaking out against me. Veino nemon alai, and he is not acceptable to me. He is not trustworthy to me. V'chein kol k'yoyse b'zeh, and likewise in all similar circumstances. Notice here again comes in the rule that we learned at the beginning of the chapter about total impartiality. Halacha Yud Aleph. Ro hadayon schus leechot mehem. If the judge sees something in favor of one of the litigants, and he also notes that the baldin mevakesh leomro, that the litigant is trying to express it, to state it, but v'eina yodea l'chabe hadvorim, but he is unable to formulate it. In other words, he is unable to find the right wording how to express his argument in his own favor. Oyshe ro'ohu, or the judge sees him mitztaya, that he is at pains, l'hatzil atzmai, to defend himself, betainas emes, with a true and sound argument, but mipnei achemo v'akas nistalik mimenu, but because of his fury and anger, the frustration of the trial, somehow or other the argument escapes him, or nishtabesh mipnei hasichlus, or somehow it comes out from the litigant's mouth confused, mipnei hasichlus, because he is not too bright. Literally it means because of his foolishness. In other words, he's not too bright a person, and therefore he's unable to express it properly, and it comes out wrongly. But it's quite obvious what the litigant is trying to say. The argument in his favor is also quite obvious. Then hareze mutar lesadoi ma'at. Then the judge is allowed to help him a little bit. Lahavino itchilas hadovo, to give him some kind of a lead into it, the beginning, so that he, the litigant, will be able to pick it up from there and bring it to its conclusion. Mishum Pesach Picho Le'ilaim, because of what Scripture says, open your mouth for the dumb. So this man is in the, or this litigant is in the situation of being comparable to an Elaim, a dumb person who cannot speak out, and therefore you are allowed to help him to regain his confidence and the ability to express the argument in his favor. But obviously, he needs to deliberate on this very carefully and very much so, so he should not be like those who play the part of an advocate, the part of a defense lawyer. As we learned earlier, that the judge has to be impartial and he should not speak out in favor of any one of the litigants or even give the semblance of favoring one or approving of his argument. The arguments have to come completely from the litigants themselves. So here it is just that it's quite obvious what the litigant wants to say and what he has to say for himself. In that sense and in that context, he is allowed to give him a little lead. He is allowed to help him be able to state whatever he has to say for himself in a calm and rational fashion. Up to here, chapter 21.